You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 61. Now, we've been trying to think of a way to say thank you to all of our faithful listeners, that's you, whether or not this is the first time you've heard The Dream Show or not, for listening to us now for more than a year. We obviously passed the year mark at episode 52, and this is episode 61, but we've just been trying to find a way to say thank you, not only for listening, but I know that many of you out there must have been sharing this show with so many friends because our listenership is just rocketing. And as we've said in a previous episode, across more than 26 countries. So thank you, not only for listening, but for sharing the episodes and the Dream Show with other people. So this is the idea that we've come up with. It would be really nice for many of you to send me very simple questions that you'd like to have answered on future episodes of The Dream Show. You know, just like single sentence questions that you're dying to have an answer for. So today, today I'm recording this show for tomorrow. This show goes out in the middle of June. So if you're listening to this show any time before the last day of June 2010, and you email me a simple question that you would like to have answered in a future episode of The Dream Show, I will send you a copy of my ebook, Make the Law of Attraction Work for You, Add the Secret Dream Ingredient. Now, this ebook, I've got a number of ebooks, but this ebook sells in our shop for $14.90 Australian, which at the moment is about $13. So it really is a good gift. And I'm the one that's going to be sitting there replying to your emails and manually attaching the ebook for you. So this is quite a big thing. So if you're, again, just reiterating that, if you're listening and it's not the 30th of June yet, email me a simple question that you would like to have answered on a future episode of The Dream Show. Add your name or add a pseudonym if you prefer a pseudonym, and I will send you by return email, a free copy of my ebook, Make the Law of Attraction Work for You, Add the Secret Dream Ingredient, normally valued at $14.90 Australian, which is about $13 US. So I've got a number of email addresses. Email it to jane@dream.net.au. So that's just Jane, J-A-N-E, at dream.net.au. And yeah, I'll have some nice new questions to answer on The Dream Show, and I'll be hopefully making a lot of you beautiful listeners out there very happy by giving you a bit of a gift for all your listening and all your sharing of the links. And many of you, of course, have also appeared as guests on the show. And some of you there are probably thinking, one day when I have a really interesting dream and I've got up the courage, I'm going to email Jane Theresa and ask to be a guest on the show as well. So yeah, we're always open and welcome to guests as well. We had no guest step forward for this week. So I've picked a couple of articles to read to you, which I think you'll find very interesting. I've picked two that are full of lots of dream interpretation tips that you can take on board and apply to your own dreams, and a bit of humour, particularly in the second article here too. So here we go. The first one is called B-rated, you know, like ABC, B-rated. And I wrote this one in April 2006. So here we go. Oh, this is based actually on a dream consultation I did. Change the names and the places for confidential details. But it came with the permission of the client. So here we go. Sarah was my best friend through school, my soul sister, and I loved her to bits, explained Amy. So why is she always so nasty to me in my dreams? It's a common scenario, but to help Amy, I needed a little more background. How nasty is nasty? I asked. Well, mostly she ignores me or whispers loudly to other people that I'm useless, a waste of time, not worth bothering about. She taunts me, making me angry. She treats me horribly in these dreams, but I follow her group around, hoping they'll let me join in. The dreams are always different, but in each one, Sarah taunts and I grovel after her, desperate to be acknowledged and included. Sometimes they let me in or give me a task to do, but just when I begin to feel good about myself, they berate me again. It's as if they only let me in to make me feel worse when they dump me. How old do you think Amy is? She sounds young, doesn't she? Her recurring dream theme concerns childlike scenarios, you know, wanting to join in with a group, being spurned, not knowing how to handle the situation other than to bear the rebukes, always walking into the same trap and never learning from the experience. Well, Amy is in her mid-60s. She's been having this dream for 45 years. When did you last see Sarah? I asked. I saw her 35 years ago. She was the lead dancer in the National Ballet. I was in the audience. She didn't know I was there. I didn't go and see her backstage either. I'd been having the dream for 10 years by then, and I was unsure of my feelings for Sarah. I wanted to believe she was still loving and kind, but my dreams were so real that I didn't want to risk losing all those good memories if she changed her feelings towards me. And before that, I asked. Well, the last time we were together was when we were 18, began Amy. It was our farewell party. We'd finished school and we were both leaving town. I was going to art college. Sarah had been accepted into the ballet. It was her dream come true. Amy paused and fiddled with her bracelet. Art college was my dream come true too, she continued, only I let my dream down, unlike Sarah. What happened? I asked. Life got in the way, she smiled. You know, parties, men, too many late nights, not enough completed assignments. Then my dream changed. Travelling the world seemed more exciting. Did you travel? And was it more exciting? I asked. It was very exciting until I got to India, Amy reminisced. I was only halfway through my dream trip, but I met a guru and my dream changed. I stayed in India for the next 2 years studying yoga. I loved it. It reminded me of my school years dancing with Sarah. Anyway, I signed up for a 3-year yoga course. I did too. And then the dream changed, I asked, catching the theme. Well, that's been the shape of my life, Amy grinned, chasing one dream after another, but it's been a great life. I wouldn't have missed it for all the tea in China or India, come to that. Did every dream get waylaid? I asked. Did you ever finish anything you committed to? Never commit to anything, I say, beamed Amy. Follow your heart wherever it leads. Where has it led you? I asked. Oh, to a place where I'm happy, but... Amy wavered, her mouth trembling. I'm sorry, I didn't know I was going to cry, she choked. Talking about all this with you now, I feel a strange, deep disappointment with myself. What happened to all my dreams? Why didn't I become an artist, a travel writer, a yoga instructor, or any of the other goals I kicked out of touch along the way? Why didn't you? I asked. Oh, because I didn't have the staying power, the discipline. I guess you could say I didn't want any of the dreams enough to fight for them. I thought I was following my heart, and I was. But my heart was beating the coward's retreat. I was running away from my dreams, saving myself from... Amy paused again, struggling to understand the picture that was beginning to appear before her. I was saving myself from the shame of not being good enough, she finally sobbed. Not good enough? I asked. My mother was horrified when I announced as a teenager that I wanted to go to art college and become an artist, Amy began, shaking her head in disbelief that this story was emerging at this stage in her life. We weren't well off like Sarah's family, and girls of my class weren't expected to go to college in those days, let alone study to become an artist. All Mum could say was, how would I earn a living as an artist, even imagining they could raise the funds to send me to college? I see so clearly now. My dream came at a cost. Sarah's family were richer. Sarah could go to study ballet, and if she didn't become a star, then that would have been okay. If I didn't earn a living as an artist, if it turned out that I wasn't good enough, then I'd be letting my mother down, proving her fears to be right. So Where did following your heart lead you? I asked again. Oh, my heart saved me from ever knowing whether I would be good enough as an artist to earn a living, or good enough as a travel writer, or yoga instructor, or anything else really, Amy laughed, beginning to see the funny side. My heart saved me from disappointing my mum, even though she's no longer on this earth. So you're still dancing to your mum's tune then? I asked. Amazing, isn't it? Amy shook her head in wonder. Now I'll never know. Would I have been good enough as an artist to earn my way? Is it too late to find out? I asked. Well, no, laughed Amy. I've a few decades in me yet, and suddenly I feel a new confidence, a new zest. There's nothing to stop me, is there? Not now, I replied. You won't hear any more taunting voices in your dreams telling you you're useless, a waste of time, not worth bothering about. After all, those were your inner thoughts all along, you know. Sarah stuck with her dream. She risked being good enough, and she was a star. In your dreams, Sarah is the part of yourself that might have been the star, that might still be the star. She's the part of yourself you have ignored. So no wonder she's cross with you. No wonder she berates you for not being good enough. No wonder she taunts you. She may look like Sarah in your dreams, but it's the ghost of Sarah's courage that taunts you for being chicken. So, began Amy, what you're saying is, I've set Sarah up as my ultimate critic. I see Sarah as a success that I could have been if I'd had the courage, and I'm holding myself to blame for not living up to that ideal. You're berating yourself, giving yourself a B rating instead of an A rating you're entitled to, I joked. A B lame rating, added Amy, guilty as charged. One other thing, I added, you said that in your dreams Sarah's group would sometimes let you in, and then just when you began to feel good about yourself, they would berate you again. You said it felt like they only let you in to make you feel worse when they dumped you. Does that sound familiar now? I'm getting the picture, Amy breathed softly. Do you mean whenever I begin a new project, I stay committed until I begin to feel good enough, and then I get out quick, before I risk finding out just how good I can be? Could it be, surely not, could it be that I don't finish things just to make myself feel even worse when I dump them? Like I make sure I'm not only not good enough, but I get further from the possibility each time I walk away? What do you think? I asked. I think it's time for me to be a star, Amy concluded. A star in my own galaxy for my own delight, without regard to anyone else's hopes and fears. As long as I enjoy the dance, who cares about the critics? And as a postscript, here's a couple of tips to really take away from the article. Here's tip one. Always remember that people in your dreams represent your own beliefs and feelings, not their own. So rather than be hurt or upset by another person's actions in your dreams, ask yourself what you can learn about yourself from the way your dreaming mind presents this person. So in Amy's case, her dreaming mind presented Sarah as her inner critic, berating her for not being good enough and causing her to give up too many projects along the way. Self-knowledge is power. And the other tip that I really want to draw attention to is, did you see how my very simple questions, which were just based on Amy's dream, led her to discover some deep, basic inner truths? Too often we roll along in life looking for answers, but forgetting that the right answers need the right questions. And dreams provide those right questions. So you can always ask a friend to ask you questions about your dream, simple questions like mine, and allow yourself to answer quickly and honestly, and you'll be amazed at what emerges. And the second article that I thought I'd read to you in today's podcast is called A Flagon of Gin. And I wrote it in February 2004, and I picked it for lots of different reasons, most of all because it made me smile, and I know there's lots of learning in it for you. So here we go, A Flagon of Gin. Oh, and I have to say it's a true story as well. A flagon of gin? Michael invitingly inquired as he turned the key to open our front door. I knew we'd both had a long and challenging working day, but I was a bit surprised at Michael's proposed remedy. A bit of overkill, I thought. Huh? I muttered, summoning up the entire remnants of my energy. A flagon of gin, Michael repeated, only this time his words morphed ever so slightly, and I began to hear what he was really saying. Flagging the gin. It was clearer now. I'm exhausted. I don't know about you. We could go tomorrow instead. Gin and tonic, then, I suggested in agreement. No, this wasn't a dream, but this little scenario from last week is a perfect example of how our brains can misinterpret our environment, and more importantly, how the most bizarre symbols and puzzling events can make their way into our dreams. Our sensory organs pick up perfect information, light, sound, touch, taste, and smell, and pass these details along our nerves, coded as chemical nerve impulses. These chemical codes are delivered to the brain where the decoding begins. And that is where the incoming data is changed, corrupted, enhanced, or overwritten. Why? The brain has more of an executive role in perception. Choices are made. Your brain compares incoming information with what it has experienced before, and if the incoming information doesn't compute, it often changes it to suit expectation. So here's an example. The lens inside your eye functions in the same way as the convex lens you may remember from school science classes. It turns all images upside down. So when you look at a person, for example, the lens in your eye turns the image of the person upside down. Your optic nerve dutifully carries this perfect information to your brain, delivering a picture of an upside-down person. Now, your brain knows from experience that people's heads are up the top and their feet are generally on the ground, so it makes an executive decision and upends the image. Your brain delivers your conscious mind the experience of seeing the person the right way up. This is great from an evolutionary survival perspective, of course. It kind of helps to know which end of the wild animal is which when it's chasing you across the plains, or to know how to pick up your baby in one smooth movement. But brains do not always get it right. After the first days of life, the brain makes that one decision to turn all images upside down. Experiments have been carried out where people are made to wear glasses that invert light rays and to keep the glasses on for several days. After a couple of days of nauseous confusion, the brain writes the picture. When they removed the glasses, it took several days for people to see the world up the right way again, because it took several days for the brain to decide to undo its correction. The same applies to hearing. We tend to hear what we expect to hear. We tend not to hear the unexpected, which brings me back to the flagon of gin. I've never thought of gin in terms of flagons. Bottles, yes. Glasses, yes. Decanters, yes. Flagons, no. So why would my brain have converted flagging the gin to flagon of gin? We are pretty good at sticking to our gym timetable where possible, so perhaps my conscious brain at that point was unable to compute the idea of missing out the gym and looked for the next best fit meaning for those unexpected words. I don't know. What I do know is that unless I had solved the enigma, my dreaming mind would have had a ball playing around with the notion of a flagon of gin, as it is the job of our dreams to try to make sense of the incongruous sensory input of the day. But it goes deeper than that. Every day you are conscious of only a small percentage of the information that your sensory organs pick up. Your dreaming mind also deals with a huge deluge of sensory input that sidesteps your conscious attention. It makes no distinction between the experiences you were aware of and those you were not. The flagons of gin and all the other weird brain interpretations need to be sorted through into best fit pictures updating your view of the world and filed away for future reference by your dreams. Some of the bizarre symbols in your dreams have their origins in your brain's misinterpretation of what you see and hear. Here's how to spot the hearing ones. Isolate the weird symbols in your dreams and write them down. Then ask yourself what rhymes with the words you have written. What do they sound almost like? Flagon of gin sounds almost like flagging the gym. When you hit on a sounds like that suddenly makes sense of the rest of your dream, you'll know you've got it right. In this way, you are helping your dreaming mind solve some of its puzzles by supplying the missing information. This method works particularly well when you tell someone about your dream. The other person will often hear that sounds like in the way you speak about your dream, in your intonation, your accent, or your rhythm. These are the things that can be missed when the dream is recorded in writing only. And as an aside, you'll have heard me do that with some of our guests on the podcast show. You'll have heard me pick up on something that they say to me when they're describing their dream. And I've said, oh, no, that sounds like such and such. And that's often been a key to the interpretation. Where was I in this article? I've just lost my place here. Yep. A variation is to tell your dream to a tape recorder and then play it back. Speaking fast can help in blurring the rhyming words so that your brain has the opportunity to search for the sounds like options. And it works the other way round too. In dreams, the emphasis is often on the visual. A dream might find it hard to picture the concept of flagging the gym, which takes time and a bit of drama, and much easier to substitute an image like a flagon of gin. Your dreaming mind is a genius at conjuring cryptic visual clues. So if you're a cryptic crossword enthusiast, you might like to occasionally put the paper aside and delve into solving your cryptic dream symbols. Might just be the tonic you need, a brain workout in place of the gym. Actually, what's really funny about that is, when did I say I wrote that article? 2006? Shortly after that experience, for some reason, Michael and I, neither of whom were big drinkers. Well, I certainly wasn't a big drinker. I probably drank about one glass of wine, maybe two, on a day, and I didn't drink every day. And if I had a gin and tonic, it would just be one and no wine. Anyway, shortly after writing the article, we both decided to give away alcohol for a couple of weeks after having an experience with an alcoholic friend that was a little bit upsetting. And neither of us have drunk a drop of alcohol since then. And I'm not going to go into a little a spiel about this or lecture, but, you know, it just made me laugh reading that about, you know, going right back to the flagon of gin and flagging the gym, and not knowing when I wrote that article that I was not only flagging the gym, but I was also flagging the gin and all other drinks from there on. And my brain is much sharper as a result as well. And the other funny thing is that, you know, I have been to the gym for decades, and in the last year or so, I haven't been to a gym at all. And I've actually been doing a lot of yoga. I've been doing yoga since I was 13, which is a very long time. But over the last year, I've focused far more on yoga and less on the gym. And the surprising result for me is that I'm actually far fitter in every single level from doing yoga than going to the gym. And, you know, I guess the reason I've just told you that little story there is because you can go through routines or have habits or believe things about life and have perceptions that you really think are integral to your survival or your way of life, only to find much later that you were perhaps wrong. Life can be lived in quite different ways and in better ways. And without alcohol in the gym, it's just one of those little things. Michael, as in flagging the gym, and Flagon of Gin is, of course, you know, the IT person behind all these podcasts, and he's sitting grinning at me there and laughing in reminiscence as well. So there you go. We've just completed another podcast show. Remember at the beginning, I'm sure you won't have forgotten, that if you email me before the end of June, and it must be before the end of June, with a question, a simple question that you'd like to have answered on a future podcast show, please do so. Send me the email to jane@dream.net.au, and I will, in return for sending your question, and mostly in thanking you for being a supportive listener for such a long time, and for also sharing this podcast link with so many people, will send you a free copy of my ebook, Make the Law of Attraction Work for You, Add the Secret Dream Ingredient. Normally selling in our shop, well, in any case, selling in our shop at just under 15 Australian dollars, which is about 13 US dollars. And that's it, guys. That's a wrap for episode 61. As usual, lots and lots of free information, resources, newsletters you can sign up for and stuff at www.dream.net.au, where you'll also find details of all my, you know, paid consultation services, email interpretations, phone and Skype interpretations, life coaching, dream coaching, dream analyst training, the lot. You can find all of the details for all of that when you click services at www.dream.net.au, and or check out the blog, get involved there at janetheresa.com or at Facebook. And if I don't speak to you by email in the next few days, sending you a copy of my ebook, I'll speak to you next Friday for episode 62 of The Dream Show. Thank you for listening. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to The Dream Show at lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsight. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.